Today's Bible reading comes from Psalm 103, which can be found on page 595 of the Pew Bibles. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and the place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Amen. Would you pray with me once more? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for being a Lord worthy of praise. Lord, thank you for being pleased to be praised by us. Lord, would you, by your Spirit, stir our hearts through the preaching of your word? It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I wanted to bring you formal greetings this evening from Smyrna International Protestant Church. We pray for you often as a congregation, and it is such a delight and privilege to be able to not only worship with you, but also to preach to you. I'm so thankful for this opportunity to see and celebrate what the Lord is doing here. So we'll be spending this evening in Psalm 103, which we just heard read. What's notable in this psalm is that the audience, the primary audience of it, seems to be David's own soul. You see, in the superscription, just under Psalm 103, it's of David. So it's really as if he's just staring down at his own chest and saying, praise the Lord, remember to praise the Lord. And it's really only near the end that we even see a recognition that there's any other audience here. So let me encourage you this evening to posture your hearts in the same way. Yes, these truths can and do apply to every man, woman, and child on the face of the globe. But let us first tend to our own souls. Let's not worry first about what everyone else is saying or thinking about the Lord. But let's consider what we are thinking of him. So the main point of this passage is something like this. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you caught it because it was too fast. Praise the Lord. It's a simple sentence, but we spend our whole lives and even eternity following it. So it's worth considering. Now, there are 1,000 reasons and more to praise the Lord, but primarily, Psalm 103 just gives us one. One simple command: praise the Lord with all your soul. We're going to look at this in just 2 different sections. First, praise the Lord, for he has done great things for you. Praise the Lord, why? Because he has done great things for you. And second, praise the Lord, for he is everlasting. First, praise the Lord, for he has done great things for you. What does it mean to praise the Lord? It means to speak well of his greatness and his goodness. But this isn't a call just for mere empty words. David is calling his soul to remember who God is and what he has done. So he's doing this so that when praise comes from his lips, it comes from the bottom of our soul. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. You see, here in the opening lines of this psalm, David commands his soul 3 times to praise the Lord. See, this repetition is not accidental. The Holy Spirit does not waste ink. God knows how easily we drift from our purpose. So he presses this command on us again and again: praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, he says, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not. Do not forget. Why? Why do we have to be told? Why does David have to tell his own soul not to forget? It's because we forget so easily. Our memories are selective. You see, friends, too often we remember the sins of ourselves and others. We forget what the Lord has done. You see, our memories, they tend to confuse trash with treasure. What should be forgotten, that sin that your brother committed against you that you forgave and he repented of, that failure that you had, that you walked in repentance and are walking away from, we tend to dwell on those things. But those things that should be remembered, like the kindness that the Lord showed you through that difficult time, the things that he has consistently done, starting with your salvation, those are the ones we tend to forget and neglect. And this is precisely why we must remind one another of what is good. Isn't that the nature of godly counsel? It's just reminding brothers and sisters of the truth that we already know. I mean, it's not like we haven't had it for our entire lives, that the Lord hasn't given us his word for millennia. And yet, good godly counsel is just reminding one another of the truth that the Lord has already revealed to us. So let's join together this evening and remind our souls of the Lord's benefits. He is a Lord who forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. This is a Lord who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Do you feel the collective weight of these verses? God, the Lord Almighty, the creator of the universe, has forgiven all of your sins. You see, if you are in Christ, not a single sin, not a single harsh word, not a single foul thought, you have not had a single one that he does not forgive. He forgives it all. But he doesn't even stop there. He heals your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. He satisfies you with good. Do not forget these benefits. To belong to God is a lovely thing. Now, it's good to take a moment here to recognize the tension that you may be feeling with some of these verses. You might think, well, he hasn't healed all my diseases. I still hurt. I'm still in the pit. But you see, dear brothers and sisters, this psalm, it speaks with the eternal horizon. Every disease will be healed, but perhaps not now. Every sorrow will be undone, but it may be a few decades from now, and then eternity after that. You see, these promises, while we may hold them and taste them briefly in this life, they reach their fullness only when we take our last breath here and our first breath in glory. So if you feel the weight of sin and decay and pain in this world, it's not a sign of weak faith. It is rather a sign that you're recognizing that things are not as they ought to be. But a better day is coming. But there is one exception to this just wait for eternity line. There's one benefit that doesn't wait until eternity. It's this: the Lord forgives all your sins. You see, any sinner, no matter their past, no matter their shame, can be forgiven both today and forever. See, that is why forgiveness comes first. You see, here, it doesn't immediately say, praise the Lord, O my soul, because he heals all my diseases. What does it say first? Who forgives all your sins. You see, every other promise in this psalm rests on the forgiveness of the Lord. And if the Lord forgives enemies like us, then he will certainly fulfill every other promise that he has made. Now, for some of us, this promise of future healing does not feel like a really strong assurance while the pain is present right now. If that's you, cling to the first benefit. The Lord forgives all our sin. It's listed first not only because it's greatest, because it's a down payment on the other promises that he'll make. If he forgave all your sins, then he will surely do those other promises. So remind ourselves that he redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with steadfast love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with what? With good things. You see, our God, he's not half-hearted in his affection. He does not merely forgive us and then leave us standing somewhere kind of at neutral. Now, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And having forgiven us, God goes further. He redeems, he crowns, he satisfies us with good. Are you satisfied with this? If God satisfies our souls with good, do you find good satisfying? Do you take time to remember his benefits? Do you practice being satisfied with them? Let me encourage you this week to remember specific kindnesses that the Lord has done to you. How has he redeemed your life from the pit? How have you seen his love and compassion? Name it, write it out. Speak them to one another. Celebrate what the Lord has done in your lives. So that both of you together can praise the Lord. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. You see, our Lord in his kindness has done great things for us. But God's benefits flow from something even deeper still. Not only from what he has done, but from who he is. That brings us to our second point. Praise the Lord, not merely for he has done good things for you, but praise the Lord, for he is everlasting. You know, if we stopped just after those opening verses, we'd have a lifetime of reasons to praise the Lord, would we not? But the Lord doesn't call us to a mere lifetime of praise. See, brothers and sisters, we serve an eternal God who is worthy of an eternity of praise from each one of us. And yet, he is not an eternally domineering God. He's not enslaving us to some kind of robotic obedience. Listen for a moment to the nature of the God we are commanded to praise. It says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his paths to the children of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Do you notice here in this passage how God's works flow directly from his character? You see, he works righteousness. Why? Because he is righteous. He shows mercy because he is merciful. And that heartbeat of all these acts that he has done is found right there in verse 8. Says the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. You see, this is who our God is. So when you speak of the Lord to others, does it sound like this? I think sometimes when we go to share the gospel, we tend to think of all the facts that we need to get across. Okay, God created the world. He created it good. Man sinned. We fell. We deserved punishment. God sent his son who lived a perfect life. He died the death that we deserve. He rose again from the dead. And now, if we trust in him, we too can be saved through him. The gospel does indeed include those glorious truths. But I wonder if we share the gospel, if we tend to just kind of define it. Okay, gospel is those things. Done, I've shared it. Are we defining the gospel, or are we sharing the message and showing the glories of Christ Jesus who has saved us? This is not mere head knowledge. This is not something that you can memorize for some cosmic exam. This is the message and the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, he didn't merely come as some way to just fulfill his eternal, godly, divine duty to us. No. But Christ came, and now he sympathizes with our weaknesses. You see, our Lord God, is compassionate and gracious. He forgives because he is abounding in steadfast love. He is patient because he is slow to anger. Now, these verses, they echo a truth that God made plain many years before. You see, when God revealed himself to Moses after Israel's idolatry, he didn't merely restate his law, but he revealed his heart. In Exodus 34, that we were reminded of this morning, is the Lord reveals himself this way. He says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Friends, do you hear that? Out of all the things that the Lord could use to describe himself, this is how he chooses to begin. And the same God is merciful and gracious to us. Now, God's mercy does not erase his justice. As we were reminded this morning, he goes on to say that he does not leave the guilty unpunished. So how then can David say in Psalm 103 that God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities? See, the friends, the answer is found in one small word. Us. God does not repay us according to our sins, because he has dealt thus with Christ instead. As Isaiah tells us, the Lord laid on the iniquity of us all, on Jesus. Christ was crushed so that our sins could be removed. Not simply removed as from one room to another, but as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? They never meet. When you look at your own sin, do you ever wonder if God will finally just grow tired of you? Grow tired of forgiving you again? Do you fear that you've returned to that same sin maybe one too many times? Do you, on the other hand, look at others and wonder if God ever really gets tired of forgiving them? Why is he so patient with them? Brothers and sisters, the Lord sees every sin. He sees yours, he sees mine. And we're a lot worse than we think. But instead of crushing us, he lays our sins on Jesus Christ. The punishment goes to him. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. But this compassion is not universal. It's on those who fear the Lord. Now, to fear the Lord, it's to repent of sin and entrust yourself to Christ. If you're here and you're not a Christian, hear this clearly. God is patient, but his judgment is also real. He will not deal with you according to his mercy forever. But you must repent, turn to Christ, know God's love that was bought through his precious blood. But notice also that this fear is not a one-time act. It's an ongoing posture of the redeemed. Why must we continually remember who God is and what he has done? Because we're tempted to fear everything else except God. You see, this is why Scripture calls us not only to confess Christ with our lips, but to trust him with our hearts. You see, anyone can say praise the Lord, but only those who fear him can say it from the depths of their souls. For the Lord knows our hearts. He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. For our days are brief. We flourish and we fade. And yet, long after we're forgotten on the earth, the Lord remembers us. It says, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. You see, just as we're commanded not to forget all his benefits, we're also called to remember his precepts, his commandments. You see, obedience, it does not earn the Lord's love, but it flows from his love. We fight sin, we pursue righteousness, not to secure God's affection, but because we already have it. You see, the focus of this psalm is not ultimately our obedience, but the focus of the psalm is the character of the God we obey. His steadfast love is eternal. His kingdom is unshakable. It says that the Lord established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. You see, brothers and sisters, we do not serve a regional king or a tribal god. His majesty commands the praise of the angels, the heavenly hosts, all of his works. Everything was created to praise him. So do not forget that everything includes your own soul. Remind your soul often to praise the Lord. Let's close by praising the Lord in the way that David models for us in Psalm 145. It's my prayer that Castle Hill Baptist Church would believe these words, proclaim them, and that they would take hold of each of our hearts. Psalm 145, beginning in verse 8, says this: "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations." Let's remember this, that we can tell every man, woman, and child to praise the Lord. We can summon the nations and even the angels themselves to praise the Lord. And yet, we can do all that and still forget that we ourselves are called to praise him. So remind your soul often. Remind your brothers and sisters in this church often. Call each other to attention. Command your souls to do what they were created to do. Praise the Lord.